And welcome to the Sportscast, April 19th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on iTunes or on YouTube so you can get notifications on your device or on your email so you can see the show. And it is another crazy night last night for the NBA playoffs. Couple of good games, couple of teams solidifying their positions, and some teams coming back after a terrible first game. George Montoya is joining us on the Sportscast. Welcome.
Hey, man. Glad to be here.
So, George, we'll go to the first game last night. The Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Pacers 100-97. The Cavaliers skated through. I watched the fourth quarter, and yes, Cleveland was doing way better than the first game, but Indiana was coming back, breathing down their neck. You think Cleveland is still shaky?
You know, it's funny you say that because I watched only the first half, and I mean, I think the score was like, is it like 14-0, something like that when it started? And I think James scored like all the points in the beginning. He was just going off. And then Victor Oladipo, he was, I think he was in foul trouble early on, so he didn't even play most of the first quarter. And I thought, well, Cavs got this done. You know, they got this on lock. Because I'm like, there's no way they could go down 0-2. I mean, if that happens, they're going to be in big trouble. And then, like you just said, I look at the final score. I'm like, they only won by 3 points. That's kind of crazy. I mean, it must have been a crazy comeback the Pacers came back from. So, like I said, it's one of those things in this series, man. Like I was almost really confident the Cavaliers are gonna win the series, but now I'm like, man, it's more like 50-50, man, because they barely won against the Pacers by 3 points, and Jerron James had to do basically everything. I mean, how much does he have left in the tank? You know, what I mean, and I say the Cavaliers do squeak by, they're gonna probably win maybe Game 7, Game 6, barely. You know, so I don't know. I'm like really doubting the Cavs now. I don't know. I feel like they're not going to make it to the finals at this point. I mean, they're just struggling, you know.
LeBron James had 46 points last night. Cal Corver had 12. Kevin Love had 15. Only three players from the Cavs had double digits.
Yeah. Yeah, they lack depth. I mean, they lack a lot of depth in their team, you know. They don't have those playmakers off the bench, you know, like they probably used to have. They did get rid of Wade, which actually I'm glad they did, because in my back to my Heat, but I think Wade would be a great, you know, a guy who's in a, you know, you saw what he did a couple nights ago in Miami, you know, Philadelphia, man, he went off completely. So you need a guy like that to come off the bench for them, and they don't really have anyone. I mean, I think Jeff Green was the one that usually does it, but he's been, I think, was injured or something, was struggling. Ronnie Hood either. They're not doing much of anything. George Hill has been struggling. I mean, yeah, they don't have that player that could get you like 15, 20 points off the bench, you know?
Yeah, J.R. Smith only had 5 points. Rodney Hood only had 5. Jose Calderon had 5. George Hill had 6. So it was very, very low scoring from like the role players / bench. Indiana, Oladipo had 22 points. Collison had 16. Miles Turner had 18, and Lane Stephenson had 10. Lane Stephenson is scoring some points.
Yeah, they use it mainly for defense, you know, but he gets you some points as well. I mean, they're a more balanced team. You know, the only reason why, you know, the Cavs will most likely win out, even though it's going to be very hard for them, because they have the best player in the world, you know. And just because they have the best player in the world, I mean, they could carry teams. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think the Pacers lost. I mean, I think this was a series. If the Pacers would have won this game, man, beat up 2-0, you know, I think it would have been incredible. I mean, I think they would have had an easy way to make it through. But now it's evened up. Now, you know, they're going back to Cleveland, right? So
no, they're going to Indiana.
Now, you know. Wait, Cleveland had the better seed.
Yeah, the highest scoring, high seed, and they lost their first home game.
That's right. Okay, so it's even better then. So it's actually not as bad as I thought. I don't know why I thought that. So they're playing at Cleveland now, and they're going to Indiana, you said, right?
Correct, yeah. Game one and game two was in Cleveland. Okay. Game three and game four would be in Indianapolis.
Exactly. Okay, I had that. I don't know why I was thinking differently. But, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if the Pacers would have won both at Cleveland, you know, that would have been crazy, you know. So now they're going back home. They should feel good about winning, you know, being split at least, you know.
What do you think will shake out? Do you still think Cleveland might skate out of the series, or do you think Indiana has it in a – Indiana is probably in a better position to win this series?
I mean, I think it's like – man, it's so close, man. I would have to say like 55% Cleveland, like 45% Pacers. I think that's that close. And the only reason is because LeBron James, man. If he was struggling at any point, then I would say Indiana would win. But you still got LeBron James, man. If he has to score 50, 60 points in a game, which he probably will end up doing, or he has to score a triple-double and not even only take like 3 minutes off completely, if he has to do that, they will do it. Because, I mean, I think yesterday, didn't he play like a ton of minutes too? You know, he played a lot. So I think whatever it takes. I think LeBron James, you know, there's no way he's going to allow to get knocked down the first round. I don't feel like he, you know, or allow that to happen. You know, the Pacers are still a good team, but I don't think, I mean, if they had like two, like if they had another guy, like Oladipo, you know, they had like, let's say like, you know, like Toronto or like all these other teams that have, you know, like two really good star players, you know, OKC, stuff like that. And I don't think Cleveland has a chance, but yeah, I think Cleveland will sneak by, which is not saying not much, you know. I think they'll either go game six, win barely, or game seven, you know.
Yeah, I really do see this series possibly going to like seven games, but we'll see what happens. I think, you know, seeing Cleveland shaky, it feels like it's just a game by game scenario. I mean, I cannot predict this series. It's very difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, if you had to choose, I mean, Cleveland has home field advantage, so they would, which is technically, they kind of lost it. So I was just saying, if the Pacers were up 2-0, there's no way Cavs come back. This is 1-1. I think Cleveland still has a little bit of edge left, you know.
So with the situation of what's going on with the Pelicans and the Blazers, Pelicans stole both home games from the Blazers. You think Pelicans are in a good position?
Oh, I think they have that, man. They have that. That was, I ain't gonna lie to you, that was one of those series where I was actually shocked that the Pelicans were that dominant. I thought the Blazers would win that series in 86 games. But they have no answer for Anthony Davis, you know, and Rondo's playing really well as well. They don't have, and then obviously they're playing good defense on Lillard, and Lillard has been struggled. I mean, he made 7 out of 18 shots. You know, he had like 17 points last game. I think Pelicans, if they have to win out. I think 2-0 and you're going back to your home court. I mean, you feel very confident that they're gonna win. You know, and you know, the stat that we're looking on before we even got on here, like what, only 19 teams have ever came back from being down 2-0.
Yeah.
You know,
and so. I mean, it's pretty much the Pelicans control their own destiny. So we'll see what happens with that series. I cannot make any definite prediction on that one because in the NBA, anything could happen. But yeah, you're right. For the NBA teams down 2-0, only like one series per year where a team down from a 0-2 deficit has come back and won the series.
And that's what I'm saying. That's maybe, I mean, that's maybe even without home field advantage, because I think it's even harder if you're going, if you lose 2-0 at home and then you have to win, you know, four games, you know, three out of the, you know what I mean? Like, it's even harder. I think it's even way, way harder to do that, you know?
Yeah. The last one was Boston and Chicago. So where Chicago was up 2-0 or even 3-0 and Boston came back. So, anything can happen in the
end. What year was that?
That was 2017. That was last year.
Oh, that was last year.
But that's when like Rondo got injured, and that's just the whole series changed.
That's true. That's true. I remember that now. Yeah, Rondo is a player that I don't think gets enough credit. I think he might not be a good shooter, but he's a great passer and he plays, you know, strong defense. So he's a competitor. So I like that kind of guy. You know, and that shows up when the Pelicans. I mean, if you think about it, like, they don't even have Cousins right now. You know, he's hurt off of the year. Imagine if they had a Cousin. I mean, that team would be like really scary. You know,
exactly. The second game last night was the Utah Jazz versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Jazz defeated the Thunder 102-95. I thought OKC like would take game two, but as predicted before the series would start, this series might be the closest series in the whole playoffs.
Yeah, you said, I mean, I think you said Jazz is going to pull the upset, right?
Yes, I do think Jazz is the like the upset. I think they are like the dark horse in the West. Game one, they didn't look like a dark horse. They didn't look too good on game one. But game two, they came back, and I think that really gained some confidence. So this is going to be a duel.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but I did read a little bit about it, that Mitchell, the rookie, he scored 13 in the fourth quarter. He had 28 points. So he just, like, completely dominated in the last quarter. And, like, that, I mean, that Mitchell, man, he's incredible. I mean, to have that poise and to have that, you know, have that clutchness in his game as a rookie, you know, it's very impressive, you know. So, like I said, I still gave OKC the series, but, like, now that I'm looking at what's going on, they split the series, right? I think OKC had the better seed, right?
Yeah, OKC is at fourth, and Utah Jazz is at five. But, you know,
yeah,
they're pretty paired up.
So they're going back at Utah.
Yeah.
They're going back at Utah split, which now that evens up the series, kind of similar like the Cleveland and Indiana. Like, I think now the Jazz. The Jazz has that.
Those two are the best series so far. For East and West.
Wait. What about Philadelphia and the Heat, man?
Oh, that's another one. Okay, there's about three series where you know it's like a game guy by game scenario. Utah, Donovan Mitchell had 28 points. Ricky Rubio 22. Derek Favors 20. Never heard of this guy. And Rudy Gobert had 13. And Jonas Jerebko had 10. So they had a lot of forces going into scoring last night.
Yeah, Derek Favors, man, he's a solid player, man. He's really good. I mean, Rudy Gobert is really – they have a very balanced team. And that Joe Ingles guy, you know, it's funny, he only had 3 points. He was only 1 for 6, but he could get on fire and get you 20 points any given night too. So they have a solid team around him. Actually, you know, it's one of those things that they have their advantage is their big men, you know, like Rudy Gobert and Favors, and obviously Donovan Mitchell's leading scorer. OKC, you know, obviously their guards are their strong point. So it's a very interesting series. They're both kind of, you know, using their strengths on each other, and you know, their strengths is the other team's weakness. It's going to be a close series. I still say OKC will have a slight advantage, but I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, if Utah pulls out, you know, a game seven, you know, series and wins, you know.
Russell Westbrook had 19 points. Carmelo Anthony had 17. Jeremy Grant had 13. Paul George had 18. Paul George did not have a good game, even though he scored 18. But I think OKC was like they put a billboard and it said playoff P, which means playoff Paul. So, you know, Paul was the hero for game one. But game two, he came back to old Paul.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats right now, and they shot pretty bad. I mean, Paul George was only 6 for 21. Carmelo was 6 for 18. And then Russell Westbrook was 7 for 19. So the three main guys, they struggled. They struggled mightily. They, you know, kind of reminds me of Philadelphia when we played the Heat. They were missing so many threes, you know, in that game. And that's what it comes down to. When Paul George was 4 for 12, three-pointers, you know. Like, when you have these shooters and they have a rough night shooting, defense is going to keep you afloat. And I think Utah just had better defense in that game. And they have more composure, you know. And because I always think about this, like, you know, you want to win these slugfests, you know, these games that are going to be close. You know, like your shots are going to, they're going to hit, you know, and sometimes you're going to have off nights, sometimes you're going to be hot, sometimes you're going to be average, you know. In the end, you're still going to average your shot. So what separates these teams are defense and turnovers, you know, like play great defense, that's effort, right? And then energy, and then intensity, and then you don't want to turn over the ball. If you do these two things right, the shots will land. Some will land, some won't, whatever. That would be, you know, what makes it, you know. So that's why the Warriors are such a great team, because these guys, they're great shooters, but they have a really good defense as well, you know. So that's what really makes those teams really well hard to beat, you know.
Would you start Carmelo Anthony, or would you start him off the bench?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I'm assuming he's starting, right?
With yeah.
The rest of what
he's
all
starting. But there's a huge debate where he should just come off the bench.
I think, and I think that debate, I think, is valid. I think it makes sense. I think if their second team is not doing that well, then let Carmelo be the guy that the ball is kind of, you know, goes around, and he'll be the guy scoring the points of the second team. And I think if I was a coach, obviously, you know, try it out and see, you know, I think, you know, to mix it up and see, and if that would work, I think that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense, because if they're struggling handling the ball, you know, because I don't know who's in their second team. Let's see, they have Jeremy Grant, and they don't really have much of anyone.
Yeah, they have Jeremy Grant, Alex Albrines, Raymond Felton, Patrick Patterson, Nick Collison, Terrence Ferguson, Josh Huestis, and Dakari Johnson.
Yeah, so the rotation is really just four players, Jeremy Grant, Alex, Raymond Felton, Patrick Patterson, and it's true. Like, I think Carmelo will be better off the bench, because they don't really have that guy that will get you like 15, 20 points, you know. So, yeah, they're not really deep. They're okay, she's not really deep in their bench. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I would with Carmelo Anthony. And then probably put Jeremy Grant as a starter. Is he Jeremy Grant? Is he a power forward? I mean, look, I think he's a forward, I believe. So I think he could, yeah, he's a forward. So Jeremy Grant would probably better if he started, and then have Carmelo get off the bench, see how that would work, you know?
Steve Adams only had 9 points, so, you know, when Steve Adams doesn't score much, you could definitely sense the score line.
Yeah. I mean, the team moves around, you know, Westbrook and then George, you know, and then, you know, those are the two top options. And when they both struggle, then someone has to pick up the slack. So if they don't do that, you know, it's really tough.
You know, to be honest, if Paul George, if OKC goes deep in the playoffs, I could really see Paul George staying at OKC and maybe not going to LA at all.
Yeah, it's going to be rare. Yeah, it's one of those things so hard to predict what's going to happen, because there should be so many free agents. You know, like LeBron's be most likely not even staying in Cleveland, you know. a lot of teams, Kyrie Leonard from the Spurs, they're saying he might not come back next year. I think Klay Thompson from the Warriors contract expires. So I think it's a domino effect kind of thing. Like, we'll find out which guy goes where, and then, like, other guys might end up joining that team because. So it's one of those things where it's really hard to predict right now. A lot of people want to go to LA. I don't know where it is. It's because they got young people there. They have a lot of money to give, I'm sure.
But it's entertainment.
I would really consider going to.
Entertainment-wise, yeah, and able to have the opportunity to, you know, do commercials or movies. You know, there's more opportunity in L.A. I guess you would say the same as New York, but New York is still not fashionable with the ownership they have.
Yeah, like, I would, I would go to, like, teams that already have, like, a good setup, you know.
Yeah, but have a good ownership,
really
have a good coach, vision.
Yeah, some guys just go for the money, and because they want to be the speeding scorer in the team, you know. So some people have different motives for what they are. Depends on their career. Some guys just want to cash in on their money, and that's it. So, you know, who knows? I really don't know yet. Anything could happen right now in the playoffs.
Lakers is always a promising club. It's a very historic club, but we'll see what happens in the summertime, in the offseason. Our last game last night, the late one, Houston Rockets defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 102-82. The game definitely had more cushion from the first game. Rockets won by 3 or 4. It seems like the Rockets are, I mean, I heard that Harden did not have a good game, but they still won. Do you think the Rockets might sweep them?
You know what? It was really weird, because I'm looking at the stats of that game, and I didn't watch the game. It was too late. But
no East Coast should watch those games.
Yeah, James Harden only made two shots out of 18, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's only 2 for 18. He only had 12 points.
12 points.
Chris Paul carried the team there.
Yeah.
You know, but look at Minnesota, though. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns only had 5 points. Jimmy Butler only had 11 points. And they only shot 14 shots combined, Karl-Anthony and Jimmy Butler, which for me is ridiculous. I don't understand what happened that game. I don't know if. And I don't feel like they only played 24 and 23 minutes each. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're in foul trouble, if they're hurt. Or I have no idea why. It looks like the Timberwolves didn't really play, like, or didn't take the, like, I don't know. It's just such a weird stat line from that game. But yeah, I mean, the Rockets are the favorites, man. I mean, obviously, would it be a sweep? I don't know. I still think Timberwolves will probably win one out because they're going to be going back home, right? So I think they'll play a lot better. But who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 4-0, though.
Yeah, Minnesota, I mean, is known for their defense, but not their offense. They say the coach, Thibs, he's not much of a offensive coach. He's a defense, very good defensive coach. Harden had 12 points. Trevor Ariza had 15. Chris Paul had 27. And Gerald Green had 21. So the star of the show did not score much. But, you know, Chris Paul carrying the weight. You think they go back and forth like that? Okay, Harden, you'll take this game, or Chris Paul, you know, you'll take the load, because it seems like that little duo going on. I like it. It's just working out.
Oh yeah, man. James Harden and Chris Paul. A lot of people, you know, before Chris Paul came to the Houston, they were like, well, I mean, is it going to work? Are they going to shoot the ball? Because, you know, James Harden also plays kind of like a point guard as well. So, you know, the offense runs through him. So when Chris Paul comes in, he's usually the one that carries the, you know, had the ball in his hands, you know, make plays. It was going to be hard how they're going to trade off, but they've done a really well job. I think they worked well together. And also, sometimes they both go off. Sometimes one of them struggles, like it was last night. You know, James Harden struggled, and Chris Paul takes care of it. But they're a deadly combination, I think. You could easily say they're probably one of the best duos in the league. I mean, there are very few teams that have two guys are that dominant like that. So they make great shots, you know, when it counts, in the clutch. So, yeah, they're a tough team to beat, man, with Chris Paul on there.
Minnesota, Jimmy Butler had 11 points. Andrew Wiggins had 13. And Nurmic Bjelica had 16. And Karl-Anthony Towns only had 5 points.
Yeah, I know. It was just weird, man. Like, I don't understand. I think the defense, was it the defense? I mean, that, because they looked like you said, they played well, good defense against the Rockets, because you could tell Harden struggled mightily. But what happened to the Timberwolves, man? It feels like they didn't.
Like I said, you know, they're an 8th seed. So, and they're playing like an 8th seed.
Yeah, and Karl-Anthony Towns is, I guess, I think Capella is just destroying him, because he's had two back-to-back horrible games, and Karl-Anthony Towns is like their best player, you know.
Yeah,
and
which is not saying much.
Him, you know? Well, not really, because I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns is a great player, and Jimmy Butler is really good too. So to think that he could be the better player than Jimmy Butler, that's saying a lot. But he's just been really, really bad. I think he had 5 points this game. He had only 8 points the game before, so they're taking him out the game, man.
Yeah, they're really taking out their best player, and definitely that is their weakness. If you take down Towns, the team, I mean, if you have Bjelica scoring 16 points, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't watched any of the games. It's too late when they show him, but, like, I mean, I'm assuming they're just taking him out of the game, being really physical with him, and he's just been frustrated, not doing anything. That's the case, man. They're going to have a very, very tough time coming back, you know.
Derrick Rose had 9 points. I'm really happy to see Derrick Rose back, you know, playing again and, you know, scoring some points and, you know, contributing to the team. I mean, obviously, you know, people have already, you know, checked him out already, but I really have hope for Derrick Rose, and I really hope that, you know, maybe after this year he has more confidence.
Yeah, and Derrick Rose, I mean, yeah, I think he even had a better game the first game. He did pretty well.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yeah, man, it's tough. It's frustrating for him, because it's just that he got hurt, man. He got injured. I mean, you look at his career. He had he was MVP, wasn't he? I think MVP that one year.
Yeah, he was MVP like in 2012 or 11. He was, and they took the Bulls to the Eastern Conference Finals, but obviously, you know, they lost against the super team Miami team. I think it was 4-1 they lost, and they went up.
Yeah, and those 1-0. Injuries were just tough, you know.
Yeah, and it's both knees, you know. He had meniscus issues, ACL tears, things like that, but, you know, that's just part of the sport and how you maintain yourself. Well, for tonight.
Yeah, you lose confidence. You lose confidence.
Yeah, yeah. It's just confidence is everything, and, you know, you gotta read Adrian Peterson's book. Well, sorry, he hasn't written a book, but, you know, his mentality just coming back. He had a terrible injury, and he came back strong the next year, won MVP or Most Improved Player. And, you know, you just gotta, you know, shake it out and just go with it, you know, and just don't be afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Tonight, huge, I would say three huge games. The first one, let's go for predictions. Philadelphia Sixers versus the Miami Heat, game 3 at Miami. Who you got?
Come on, man. It's Miami Heat all day. Like, I think, this crowd's going to be on fire, man. It's going to be everyone, all the Heat Nation, all white, man. It's going to be a very tough place to play. I think we play anywhere close to what we played last game. We're going to crush them. Now they're saying that Joel Embiid, he might not even play, so that's going to be very bad for them, you know. So I think we got this.
Yeah, I heard that the injury that he got is serious. Like, yes, he had like a little cheekbone tear issue, but he's not coming back as soon as people thought he would. I think people from Philadelphia have been hearing a lot of news from up there, and they're saying that he's not, you know, not 100%. But I mean, you know, if you're not ready, you shouldn't be playing. That's what I take. But I take the Miami Heat. I think Miami Heat has a lot of momentum coming in from game 2, and you got to win game 3. Game 3 is really pivotal when it comes to the NBA playoffs, and I think we'll win game 3. You know, this series, like I was saying, it's a game-by-game scenario. It's hard to predict who's going to win the whole series because you just can't because every game is different. You know, one game, Philadelphia was doing amazing. And then, like, game 2, Miami, he was dominating. So I think Miami Heat's going to take that one.
Yeah.
Next game, Blazers and Pelicans. Pelicans are up 2-0. They're going to Portland. No, going back home. It feels great to be up 2-0.
Yeah.
Who do you think will win tonight?
Exactly. You know, I think that I say this is the game where the Pelicans could be overconfident and be like, you know, we got this. And the Blazers are saying, you know, this is a must win. If we lose this 3-0, we have no chance. So I think the Blazers are going to have, you know, they're going to go as hard as they can. I don't know if it's enough, but I think this is the game where you're going to see what the Blazers are made of. And I think if they do lose tonight, then they're done. They know that they're just done, even though they might not admit it, they'll be done. But I would say, you know what, I think the Blazers is an upset, which is crazy to think it's an upset, but I think the Blazers will have to win out this game. They have to. It's a must win.
I'm a huge Pelicans fan, to be honest. I'm a huge Anthony Davis, unibrow. I think Pelicans, I mean, this is a pivotal game 3. This is like do or die for Portland, but Pelicans have to come out stronger. Stronger than game 2 and game 1 put together. And we'll see if Jrue Holiday will come in and take it over, but we'll see. McCollum, I think he's healthy. I was hearing he was not, but, you know, who's healthy these days? But I'm picking the Pelicans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Holiday's been doing really well, man. I think that's been the X factor. You know, Rondo's done what he has to do. You know, Davis has done what he has to do. But Holiday, he's been stepping up huge, man, you know?
And the last game for tonight, the late one that no one watches, it'll be at 9:30. Actually, it'll be at 9:30 p.m. on TNT. Golden State Warriors versus the San Antonio Spurs. Warriors are up 2-0, and they'll be playing in San Antonio. Who you got?
Man, I mean, I don't know if you just realized that Popovich, his wife passed.
Yeah, Aaron, right? Yeah, and like our thoughts and prayers go to the Popovich family, and it's going to be a tough night for him.
Yeah, and I heard like he actually still went to the practice and led the practice or something like that. So, I mean, he's committed. And, I mean, I think kind of similar. They're playing at San Antonio. I don't know. I have a feeling, even though obviously it's very hard to go against the Warriors, but I think the Spurs are going to pull out. They're going to pull out a win. They're going to be this one. they're going to be emotionally strong for the coach, and they're going to be very inspired to play for their coach, especially after they're trying to dedicate this game to his wife. So I think they're going to go all in. And this one, I don't know if it'll be enough, but I think it'll be a very close game. And they're playing at San Antonio, so their crowd is going to be behind them. So I think that the Spurs, I thought the Spurs would win one game, maybe two. Now I think two is a little bit too ambitious, but I think that they would win a game series. It'll be tonight.
You make a good point. Before this whole situation with Popovich's wife, I was going for Golden State. But I think San Antonio, if they had to win one game in this series, it would have to be tonight.
Yep.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, I think they would.
Is like their only best player they have in that team. I mean, yes, you got Ginobili, you got Parker, but without Kawhi Leonard, which everyone's talking about, you know, where is he going to go? Pretty much, it's pretty much a divorce, a pre-divorce already. So, yeah, the playoffs are going to steam. Curry, man, Curry's happy. He's like, I probably don't have to play in this series.
Yeah, of course. He kind of knew that already. I mean, Aldridge is the only guy they have, obviously, because Kawhi Leonard's not there. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is such an amazing player. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I mean, so unfortunate that he's not playing. I don't really know what's going on in the background. I heard like a lot of tensions are going between him and the team. And I don't really understand what's going on, really. I haven't really read much about it. But it's kind of, yeah, it's tough. I mean, come on. Cavs losing, you know, LeBron James. You know, it's a huge blow to the team. Love to you be competing, even make the playoffs without their best player, just shows what a great coaching Greg Popovich is and great coach he is, and even the bench. You know that whatever they have some young players that are still playing pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, come on, everyone knows that there's no way that the Spurs can beat the Warriors. The Warriors are just so have so many weapons. You know, even without Curry. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is very unusual for Leonard, and you know, very unusual for the Spurs because they've never dealt with personal issues ever. Seeing them for the past 20 years since 1999, I've never seen any personal issues. But this is going to cost Kawhi because now teams that you know that like once he becomes a free agent, teams are going to become a little hesitant about him. Okay, well this guy had an attitude with San Antonio, and San Antonio is very respectable. If they can't handle him, who else can handle him?
Yeah, but, like, what have you heard? What's going on with him?
I mean, the doctors from the Spurs have cleared him. He's healthy. He's clear to go. But then he has his own doctors that say, no, it's not, you know. And obviously, like, the whole debate where, like the team has that asset, like, yes, you need to play because you're under contract. But then if you go to another doctor where there's no much pressure or not much, you know, say to it, well, he probably wants to take care of his health. That's what he wants. But it feels like a little bit of disobedience, in my opinion.
So I think, I guess what was happening is he doesn't feel like coming back because maybe he felt like, what's motivating him is like, you know what, it's just kind of messed up if it is, but at the same time, it's kind of understandable because it is a business. If he feels like he's not going to be in the Spurs, even if he does come back and play next year because he's not going to get his contract, but I think he's a free agent next year. Or maybe they have an option maybe on his contract. But I think if that's the case, it's like, you know what, I don't want to get hurt and then it's going to cost me a lot of money and another contract coming up next year for a new team. So he's like, I don't want to injure myself, you know, at this point. You know, we might not even have a chance anyway. So he's like, I want to take care of myself first, my body. I risk it. This is a business, you know. So that's a brutal thing of sports, you know. You'd be loyal to a team, but then at any given moment, they just drop you, you know, or, you know, whatever. So, it's a very delicate situation.
Yeah. What about for the Spurs? They got to start from scratch again. Anyways, the NBA playoffs are shaping up, and like we were saying, we have three series that I think that become very close. Indiana and Cleveland, Miami, Philadelphia, and OKC, Utah. I think those three series are probably the tightest. Who do you think from those three series is your favorite so far? Or like the most one that you're really noticing more?
Well, obviously the Heat and the 76ers because
you're homie.
I mean, that's my team. Yeah, but at the same time, they're going at it. And, I think a lot of you, I am surprised that Indiana's giving Cleveland such a hard trouble. I mean, such a hard time in the games. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just thought like, you know, well, the Cleveland is just, come on, it's Cleveland. I mean, they can't lose to the Patriots. But now you think about it, man, their team is not even close to as good. They're not as good as people think, man. LeBron James is doing basically everything possible. Yeah. And even then, they're barely winning. So I think it's crazy, the thing. I think they're in danger of actually not making it past round one, which is crazy. Obviously, Utah and OKC, that's a great series as well. I think that back and forth. But as fun to watch, I mean, I love the Heat and the Sixers because they're playing like, they're both very similar teams. They both have shooters and they have young guys in there, and, you know, so it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, you know.
I would say the closest series, OKC and Utah, is the strongest. Then Cleveland, Indiana. I think the weakest series is Philadelphia, Miami. But you never know. It's just every game. You got to look at each game individually because it's just not consistent. You know, one team has not. I probably won't see neither of the series where one team wins two games in a row. That's how close it is. So.
Yeah. And if they do win two in a row, they'll probably lose the third one. So it'll be back and forth anyway. Like, you know, but what about, you haven't really talked about this, but I remember that time we went out and we watched crazy shots from Boston to Milwaukee, man. What do you think about that series?
Middleton, yeah. That one, I think game two, kind of, I saw the writing on the wall that Boston, after game two, Boston is going to take that series. I mean, sure, they might lose like one in Milwaukee or something, but I think Boston has that series. Who do you think will come out?
Well, yeah. I mean, I picked Boston no matter what. If people were saying it's going to be a very close series, I'm like, Boston. People don't think, man, Boston is a really good team, even without Carrier, and they're a very solid defense, and they have a lot of those young guys, like Rozier guys, playing great, Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Those three guys are still, they're prime, they're young, they're energetic, they're intense. They have, they're a good team, man. They're a very good team.
System over and stars.
I think they're going to be great. And they're going to be, remember, those three guys are going to probably be there next year. And then Terry Irvin coming back and Gordon Hayward coming back. And those guys are going to be very, very solid, very good team. I'll be scared to play them next year. Milwaukee, they gave all the Boston could handle in that last game and they still couldn't win, which is crazy. That shot was insane, man. 0.5 seconds and he made it, man. I couldn't believe that, man. Incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think Boston's going to win it. Maybe Milwaukee might go win one, but the series is just back to Milwaukee. And the NBA playoffs continue. The drama continues. Things are forming out. Teams are strengthening their positions, and their series are close. So we'll see what happens in pivotal game threes. Those are the games where you look where the series – you set the tone of the series. And I think Game 3 is a good indicator of what could happen and what may not happen. If you have any suggestions or anything about the show or who do you think will win from these tight series, leave a comment below on YouTube or on Facebook. Or, yeah, and we'll probably read them for the next show. And if you have any questions for George, you can leave a comment because he's not on social media. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, man.
Well, George, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Can't wait for tonight's games.
Go Heat.